Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con.
And we're super excited about this one.
Mm-hmm. It's another Indiana one. This one is PopCon, Indie PopCon to be exact. And it's going to be in Indianapolis, again at the Convention Center.
Indiana Convention Center.
Right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye. You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sammy.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Shall we begin?
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational show!
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast, produced by Limitless Broadcasting.
Make sure you check out all of our social media after the show, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Happy November.
What?
I know. Darn it, my mom's birthday's this month. I got to get her a present.
Yep.
And I got to start figuring out the family holiday schedule.
Oh, fun times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brett was telling me like his family's going to be doing something. I'm like, well, my family's doing these things. And I'm like, ah, crap.
Now it begins.
It begins.
Yep.
It'll just be every other year.
Mm-hmm.
Every other year, fair thing.
Yeah. It's fair.
Oh, no. Like every other year, it's going to be complex because
this year,
my mom's family will be doing Thanksgiving with my mom's family. But the year after that, it's just my family because normally it would be my dad's side of the family, but none of them get together.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Just love. I love my family get togethers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So much fun.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Oh, boy. So welcome to our time capsule month.
Yes,
we decided to do some time capsule movies ranging from 20 to how many years ago was that? 50 years ago? 71? 50? Yeah, I think that's right.
52.
52. Yes. Fun. So today we're starting with a movie that was made in, or that was released in 1971 called Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Sammy did all of the research on this one. So I'm going to let her take it away. Are you awake enough to do this?
I don't know. I'm still tired from my Nelly concert. So we shall see.
Okay. If I need to help, if to help you, just tag me.
I'll just lay my head down and I'll be like, I'm done.
Your turn.
Yes. So, yeah, we've got a summary and then some fun facts. What are you looking at?
I thought my phone went off. I thought maybe Brett was awake and he's not. So,
no, I wish I was not awake either, Brett. You know.
No, it's Saturday. He's not working. I'm like, wait, shouldn't he be at work? No, he's not working.
We don't know what's going on in our lives. But yeah. Okay. Anyway, so I have summary and some fun facts. And I mean, I almost hate to say it, but probably the trivia and the fun facts are probably more interesting than the movie, but it's okay. We're going to talk about what we think about the whole thing. All right. So to summarize, where did I get this from? I think I got this from IMDb.
Probably.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm pretty sure. So an apprentice witch, three kids, and a cynical magician, con man, search for the missing component to a magic spell to be used in the defense of Britain in World War II. Very random and interesting storyline for this movie.
Weird.
It was different. And this movie, which I had no idea, is based on a book called The Magic Bedknob and Bonfires and Broomsticks by Mary Norton. So technically, it was like two books at first in the 40s, and then she combined them in the 50s into one. And of course, Walt Disney read it and he was like, this is cool. I want to make a movie. And she was like, that's cool. You can have the rights. A little bit different from another author that he was trying to get at the same time. Is this went a little bit better for him than Miss Travers. And just saying, you know, but yeah, I didn't read any sort of animosity or issues with getting the rights from Mary Norton or her estate, whatever it may have been, to get the movie made.
That's funny.
So I was just, when I was putting this together, I'm like, you know, this movie is like super old. So I was just curious about some of the writers and directors, because this is back in, you know, Walt Disney was alive when they started making the movie. And I was curious about some of these people because, you know, they're going to be super old by now. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
I did learn some things. Yeah. So as you know, there's just like Mary Poppins, there's animation and live action and combination, because that was a big thing Disney and liked playing around with.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some writers for the animation story and then for the screenplay. So there's a man named Ralph Wright. He wrote, or he worked on the animation story. He was a writer and actor who was known for the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh and Lady and the Tramp. And I was just like, oh.
I know that name.
Yeah. You know, and I think that was part of it, too, was like I kind of vaguely think I recognize some of these names, which is why I just started clicking on everybody to see what else they worked on.
Mm-hmm.
We also had Ted Berman, who worked on the animation story, and he is known for Fox and the Hound. Thank you, Ted Berman. For Fox and the Hound. The Black Cauldron, which I'm sorry, what? I don't know what happened in the middle there. But then he also worked on The Rescuers. So good job. Because The Rescuers is awesome. So
he had a problem in the middle there.
Yeah.
The middle child was not good.
That's why when I saw they didn't list The Rescuers and is known for, but I looked through his entire list and I was like, well, I have to bring up The Rescuers because this poor man cannot just be left with
he needs
the
redemption. Black Cauldron.
Yes. I have to emphasize it's not his fault. It's okay. He came back. So. And we have Bill Walsh, who worked on the screenplay. Now, this dude, what in the world? So he joined Walt Disney Studios in 1943 and actually worked for the publicity and story departments. And I did not take down his entire bio, which is insanely long. And you should definitely look it up if you're curious. But basically, he became buddy-buddy with Walt Disney and kind of was moving up in the company in different departments. He actually developed the Mickey Mouse Club in 1955. Essentially by himself with little input from Disney, because at that time Disney was like, I'm gonna build Disneyland, I don't have time for this, you just do what you want to do, it's cool, you got it. I was like, oh, that's very cool. He invented the Mickey Mouse Club, which is iconic.
Yeah.
And Bill Walsh also produced a lot of Disney's comedies and adventure films, which the most famous is Mary Poppins.
Talked about him on Mary Poppins episode, didn't we?
We probably did.
Or mentioned him.
Yeah, at least as a writer on there. So,
yeah.
Or producer or something. Anyway, but I just thought that was very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome.
And we have Don DeGrady. He also worked on the screenplay. Again, he was a writer known for Mary Poppins and Lady and the Tramp. So many crossovers here with this. So many crossovers.
And why wasn't this better?
We'll get into it. Why I think maybe. Yeah. Okay. And then there was Ken Anderson on IMDb. It said he worked on the animation story, but was uncredited. And I wanted to include him because he was a writer that was known for Cinderella in 1950, Robin Hood, which I was like, ooh, I love Robin Hood,
love
and
Robin
the Aristocrats.
Hood. And I love the Aristocrats.
I was just like, oh, what? Yeah, I really love seeing the Robin Hood credit because I was just oh my gosh, I love.
Robin Hood is like one of the best ones.
Mm-hmm, for real. And we're not done, because then we have the directors. So Robert Stevenson, he was a director and writer known for Mary Poppins in this movie.
I can't watch her.
I know there's so many, and there's, again, we will get into, we're going to skip it for now, but we will get into
it. But I'm saying it's funny what I put at the bottom, because I didn't look through any of this before I made that assumption.
Yeah. We'll get into why I think. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
And other director is Ward Kimball. So he was like the animation director, I believe. So he joined Disney Studios in 1934 as an animator. He eventually became involved in all aspects of the animation production. Most notably, he was the designer of Jiminy Cricket for Pinocchio. I was like, I have to include this. And he was responsible for the redesign of Mickey Mouse. So,
oh, the good redesign too.
What? I mean, hello. Thank you. And I knew I recognized his name for sure. Yeah. And that's why.
Yeah.
The Mickey Mouse tie-in. And he is also one of the nine old men, which was Disney's,
that's
like,
so funny,
you know, semi-official, you know, group of advisors. So that's very cool to be part of that group. And another fun fact, not only did his love of trains get him the job of designing the World of Motion display at Epcot. What in the world? I'm sorry. I just, every time I kept reading more about this guy, I was like, I love Ward Kimball. He also got Walt Disney into his train obsession. So we can thank Ward Kimball for Walt Disney being obsessed with trains. So much stuff.
And well, this last point makes sense now.
I was going to say, fittingly, in 89, they named him as a Disney legend, which clearly deserved.
Oh, clearly.
Clearly deserved, yes. So, Ward Kimball, everybody. There you go. All right, so our cast. As you've already pointed out, Miss Ashley, we have Dame Angela Lansbury as Miss Price. Can you say her first name? Eglantine?
I have no idea.
I think they just always call her Miss Price. Yeah. We have David Tomlinson, who we cannot remember his name in the last one. Sorry, but he was Mr. Brown. Ian Wayhill as Charlie. Cindy O'Callaghan was Carrie. And Roy Snart was Paul. So those were the kids that were in it. And of course, there are some other people too, but those are the main ones that we're going to talk about. So I don't have like a lot of trivia, but I do have some and some very interesting trivia.
Yeah.
First, right out of the bat, because we've been talking about Mary Poppins a lot already. Julie Andrews initially turned down the role of Miss Price. And then she reconsidered because she's like, I actually owe my movie career to Walt Disney Studios and I want to work there again. And she told the studio she changed her mind, but they had already cast Angela Lansbury. So I was just like, interesting. So they originally were going for Julie.
I don't think it would have changed anything.
Not really, truly.
I love Julie.
Because
no.
Angela,
it
has nothing to do with Lansbury's performance or anything.
No, Lansbury's.
No, and I actually, I did not put it in here, but we will, I have another thing to share about Miss Angela Lansbury's thoughts on some of this. So this was, speaking of Dame Angela Lansbury, this was her first movie for Walt Disney Pictures. So this is her first casting with them. And this was all over the place. I read so many things about the Sherman brothers with this movie and Disney and all that. So this is the last feature film that the Sherman brothers worked on for Disney until the Tigger movie in 2000, apparently. So they did songs for this and then they went on and they were still doing songs, but it was for other movies, apparently. But to be fair, I mean, think about like Walt died around this time,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And yeah, I mean,
there's
it probably wasn't the same
on.
And yeah, exactly. But I didn't realize this. The Sherman Brothers did return in the early 1980s to write songs for Epcot Center. Of course they did. Okay, of course you did. But yeah, they did work on other, like I said, other movies like Tom Sawyer from 1973, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yeah, so they were out there doing stuff, but they were not working on Disney movies for a while. So I thought that was interesting. And the several of the dolls that Carrie admires in the nursery of Professor Brown's house were modeled after the international puppets in the Small World ride.
I thought they looked familiar.
Yeah, that's why. Because they were
no wonder I was creeped out.
Creepy dolls from the Small World. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here we go. This is what I wanted to get to.
Okay.
This movie was developed at the same time as Mary Poppins, which came out a while before it in 1964. Walt Disney started with this movie And again, I read a couple different things that was going on with this. So one is that he was like, oh, it's kind of too complicated technically to do, so we're going to do Mary Poppins. What I think is more likely that happened that I read was that Walt, at this time, as we know, he was trying to get the rights to Mary Poppins, struggling a lot to get the rights. And he finally got her to sign off on it. So he was like, oh, I want to do Mary Poppins first, because I think that was the story he was more interested in. I think that's really more so what happened with this. And that, this got put on the back burner. But
makes
they
a lot
were,
more sense.
They went back and forth between the two movies for production and trying to get everything sorted out with it. That one time they were just not going to do this movie at all. But the Sherman Brothers had already done music for this movie and for Mary Poppins. And they were just like, no, Disney, you should really finish that movie. So, yeah, there we go. And the song The Beautiful Briny Sea was actually written for a sequence in Mary Poppins that was dropped. And then they ended up using it in this movie instead.
I'm glad, because I didn't like that song.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, I mean, it was okay. But I mean, it wasn't great.
It wasn't
like Mary Poppins level. I mean, you know, yeah. And with all the animation and everything, all the technical things they had to do, I read that Angela Lansbury was like, she enjoyed doing the movie, but she did feel restricted as an actress because she couldn't change up a lot of like how she moved in a scene, because it was all very specific about where you needed to be at what time, because they were going to have to do the animation and the special effects and all of that.
Yeah.
So she did feel like that stilted the performance and everything a little bit too. So I thought that was another thing just to throw in there that maybe didn't help the movie too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I just, yeah. Anyway, I got a couple more facts. So this was the, sadly, last Disney movie released while Roy O. Disney was still alive. He died a week after its U.S. premiere. Sad.
It is sad.
Yeah. And we have a hidden Mickey in the establishing shot of the animated soccer game. A bear is wearing a Mickey Mouse t-shirt in the crowd. So, fun fact.
I noticed.
And there's a goofy holler heard during the soccer game when King Leo kicks the hyena.
You know, that did, I did not think of it as a goofy holler, but that makes sense.
It's a goofy, yeah. If you think, like, now that you know it, you're like, yeah. It sounds like a goofy holler. Mm-hmm. For sure. And let's just real quick with the animation, because especially now that we know some of these animators, the other projects they worked on, characters were
like Robin Hood to me.
Yes. I was like, it's Robin Hood, right? Like the same characters are in this movie as Robin Hood. They just reuse the characters. Like when
the rhino, the lion.
Yeah. The lion, King Leo. When he came out, I was like, oh, so this is the same place as when where Robin Hood is, but it's not, but I was like, it's the same guy, right? Like
the ostrich, all of them. I'm like, this is Robin.
They just literally just plopped all the characters from Robin Hood into this movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So weird. Yeah. We're on the same page with that. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's just get into it, because I would love for you to share your thoughts.
Do I get to say my first line?
love to share.
Yeah. So I feel like I was watching a C version of Mary Poppins.
Oh, and it was so hard.
Well, and not just Mary Poppins. It was like a weird combo of Mary Poppins and Chronicles of Narnia.
And I can understand with the,
them going off to somebody else to live during the war.
Yeah.
It's literally the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely the same concept. Like, I think this person who wrote it copied off of Lewis.
Narnia,
I think. I'm going to check.
But, it's like when I'm watching this movie, it has the nostalgia and the feeling. Like, I'm like, it feels like a Disney movie, especially of that era, with the animation and the way the songs are done and the dialogue. The characters, I'm just like, this definitely feels like a Disney movie from like the 60s vibe, you know?
Yeah.
I got
that. Narnia came out in 1950, so she came up the concept first.
They stole it from her. No, I'm just kidding.
You made it better.
So I was like, I really wanted to enjoy it more than I did, because I like that nostalgic feeling, like with Mary Poppins and the vibe of it. And the animation, and it just, wasn't hitting well.
No. So, like, okay, some of my other things I put. When, yeah. I will say it was weird seeing a nice version of Mr. Banks.
I loved it, though. He did such a good
duty. It was just weird.
I know. Did not seem cranky. Well, I mean, he's not cranky at the end of Mary Poppins. But, you know, I was just like, oh, he's so funny in this one. You know?
And to think that, like, he went from Mary Poppins to this movie, and then if Julie Andrews actually said yes.
They would have been in this together.
This would have been so weird.
They just would have been hanging out again. It would have been, they could have, maybe they would have started a trend and there just would have been movies, constant movies with the two of them together.
I don't know. I will say the concept was very cute with the bed knob, like putting the bed knob and traveling. I did like that part. I thought it was cute. Mm-hmm. But I felt like this movie was missing things in the plot. Yeah. I feel like it would have been better, like as a TV show going through like a little bit more. But she really never explained why the spell would stop the war, and just going to see the book guy who had the other half, and like then going to find it. It just felt like a lot was missing.
I thought I just missed a line or something. This makes me feel so much better because I was I was like, the whole movie, I was like, I'm not understanding what this is going to do. And I was like, I clearly missed something, but I'm not going to rewatch it. Right. So. This makes me feel better. Okay. Because I thought I just missed an entire scene or something. Okay.
Yeah. I'm really sad this movie wasn't better.
Yeah. Agreed. Mm-hmm.
It's very sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's really all I have for it. Like, I really don't have anything else for it.
Yeah. I mean, the performances were not bad. I think it really is the story that was just.
It was.
Missing, like you said. And the. I mean, I guess I understand the setting of around the war because that still was a big deal at the time.
I mean, it was published in 43, which was like before we entered as Americans. Mm-hmm. But I think British was already like in the fight.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just had problems like being invested in the plot line and the story. And I was like excited at the beginning because I'm just like, oh, look at her being like this bad witch because she doesn't know what she's doing because she's an apprentice witch. And I was like, that's a funny concept. I like the idea.
But, like the con and
that was she's strange. A part of this.
All the elements were really, really strange and not well presented in the literature standpoint that I'm just like, I'm curious to read the book because I kind of want to know if the book's that badly written or if they just left a lot.
The interpretation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I wouldn't mind the con man thing, but I do wish Mr. Brown, because Mr. Brown was just like, oh, I was just sending like nonsense things. And I'm like, okay. I get the con part, but I wish he would have actually been... like done the magic himself too, but still done the con where I'm just not going to send you the stuff at the end and steal your money and pretend I just shut everything down. I still would have enjoyed that because it fit the character, but I didn't understand the concept of him being like, oh, it really works. Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was strange.
It was very, very strange. It was just a very strange movie. Yeah.
Yeah. It really,
I don't really have much more to say.
No, I mean, I feel like it's worth watching maybe once, you know, to say you watched it and there are some fun scenes in it, but none of the songs, I feel like stick in your head, which is surprising because it's a Sherman, you know,
but
Sherman.
I feel like it's just their leftovers that didn't work for Mary Poppins.
We know at least one of them.
But I feel like I feel like they were all just kind of like songs they messed with, but really weren't, they should have just been tossed.
Mm-hmm. And I did read some other stuff about this too, where they had shot more scenes or written more, but they had to cut it because, you know, at this time they were playing it in specific theaters and the theater would only play a movie that was less than 2 hours long. So they ended up having to cut some stuff that they probably shouldn't have, or maybe that would have helped the plot. So there are missing scenes and things that were shot that they couldn't recover that would, you know, probably have been at this point added back into the movie. So I don't know if that really would have helped it a whole lot, to be honest with you, but
it was too long anyways. Like,
There were definitely portions.
For that kind of movie was too long.
There were portions they could have cut down or just changed.
Yeah.
With it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know.
And the Germans all of a sudden just showing up at her house and invading in, and she's trying to call somebody. I'm like, this is dumb. Like, this is like one of those, and I hate to pull apart a Disney movie, but
yeah.
Like, I hate doing this, but it feels like it should have been like a Monty Python movie that they're making fun of this kind of situation, but they were trying to be serious. I'm like, this.
True.
Really? You're trying to seriously say that this would just randomly happen? No.
Yeah. 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 And the Monty Python vibe would have fit better because you just expect weird and absurd things to just happen they don't have to make sense because you just know it's not going to make sense. So I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not my favorite, unfortunately.
No.
I really wanted to like it, though.
I'd rather watch the dinosaur movie.
That's bad.
I know. But at least it has a good plot.
It does. It has a more cohesive plot, unfortunately, than this movie.
Cohesive. That's a better.
Yes.
It might have been too strong of a word.
Cohesive. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Bed Knobs and Broomsticks. But it is
Angela,
a classic.
I love you. Oh, you are amazing.
Mm-hmm. With wait, that character,
Angela,
yeah.
Wait, is Angela still around? I know she was.
No, she died. Remember, she died.
When did she die?
Last year. Yeah, last
That's
year.
That's right. Okay. I'm like, when?
She was like 90.
She was around for a while.
She was 90 something. Yeah. Because. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, did you see Mr. Dick Van Dyke was at Disneyland?
Dick Van Dyke is going to be 120. I swear to you. He's going to be 120 and
I
still dancing.
Know. How?
He's literally going to be 120 and dancing
He's
around.
He's going to be 98 next month.
It does not matter. Age is literally a number to him. So he has no concept of what a 98-year-old should actually be physically like.
He was in a wheelchair while he was at Disney. The Dapper Dans there were serenading him with one of his songs.
Well, it's a lot of walking.
It is.
When you go to a Disney park. So
I want to be old enough where you just push me around in a wheelchair.
Who's you pushing?
Oh, like my husband, not you.
I was going to say that better be Brett, because I can guarantee you I'm not pushing you in a wheelchair.
Well, he's
you
not
can
my
just
husband.
Sit there.
My boyfriend.
You can just sit wherever, and I'm just going to leave you and say, I hope you can figure
it
out.
No, I know you're not going to push me around in a wheelchair.
Sure
I'm
not
dumb.
Sure will not. No.
Instagram, I sent you a best friends thing.
What did you send me?
Did I send it this morning or did I send it last night? It was it's a reel. About best friends.
Oh, I haven't looked at it yet.
Okay.
I'll leave it.
Was it? Yes, it was. It's, no, shh, I don't want the sound. It's like what we're going to be like in our old age calling each other.
Okay. I'll definitely watch all of it today.
Funny.
I'll definitely watch it.
Because it will be us.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's on Insta. I shared it on Insta.
Yeah, I just looked to make sure I had it in my messages. Okay. So. Yeah, I'll be watching that.
Mm-hmm. I just saw it. I'm like, that'll be us.
Oh, boy.
And it'll be me calling you and you're going to be angry at me.
That's probably accurate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Yep. Our husbands are going to be, because they're older than us, they're going to pass before us. And then you and I are going to live in a retirement home together. And I'm going to cause you havoc.
I can see that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you love me and you'll let me do it.
That's very true. They'll probably like not let us live together. They'll probably be like, you guys can't be in this building together.
You guys are too much mischief. You can't be in the same campus together.
I feel like they would separate us. Yeah.
I feel like they'd put us in different campuses.
Yeah. They'd just be like, this is not allowed. No.
I mean, it's probably why we're in two different states right now, because the universe doesn't trust us to be in the
come
same
on,
state.
Come on. We'd be fine.
We'll be fine.
It's fine.
Or maybe our men don't want us to be in the same state. They're like, you know what? Those two together, let's not.
Mm. I feel like I don't think Robbie would mind, because then, although he does like going to Disney if I feed him, so I don't know. It depends.
Brett actually wouldn't mind. He'd be like, yeah, you, I'm going to stay here and play video games. Okay, go with mm-hmm. Sammy. You're fine.
Yeah, Robbie mostly wants to go if he gets food, so. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, should we wrap up?
Yeah, that's all we got to say about this movie, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Pixie Dusters, sorry that we started off with kind of a dud in the first week, but we have more and better to come. Next week, we are talking about Ever After, which is like one of the all-time, probably the all-time best Cinderella story movie that has ever been told, even though it's not Disney.
Well, now it is.
Well, they bought it, but Disney didn't make it.
Yeah, now it's like Disney, you know, yeah.
Yes, but Disney didn't make it.
True.
Yeah. So come back to hear our thoughts on Ever After, and then after that, Dan will be back.
He will,
because he didn't want to be a part of Ever After.
It's okay. It's understandable.
Yeah, but he wants to be a part of the Princess Bride,
because the Princess Bride is very funny and has a lot of like great iconic moments. So I can see that, especially him being into filmmaking and all of that too.
This is true.
It's a classic.
But Ever After is one of the top 100 best romantic movies in all of America, in the world. It's on the list.
I don't think Dan is a big Cinderella person. I don't get that vibe from him.
I know. I'm just trying to razz him while he's not here.
I know. He can't say anything.
He can't. All right, Pixie Dusters, we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.